Okay. We're going to focus this spiritual warfare on how powerful we are and not on how powerful Satan is. Because one of the lies we get straight from the pit of hell is that Satan is always attacking us. Now, the truth is he's always trying to. But we have so many weapons that we can defeat anything he tries to throw at us. Yes. That's exciting.
Amen.
Now, please understand that, you know, sometimes we create messes ourselves and then we blame Satan or we blame God. Now, there was this man, he came home one night and finished eating dinner and he sat down in the recliner. And he just leaned back and relaxed. Oh, he was just enjoying it, watching the ball game. And his wife came in from behind him and slammed him on the head with an iron frying pan. And he came to and he said, "What is that for?" She said, "I found this in your pocket." "Who is Marilyn? 387-2635. He goes, "Oh, no, you've got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. That's a horse that I'm betting on. That's a horse. You've totally messed up." She said, "Okay, I'm sorry." 2 nights later, he's sitting down, puts his feet back, turns the ball game on. His wife comes up behind him, slam, with the iron frying pan again. And he came to, and he said, "What was that for?" She said, "Your horse called." Now, sometimes we create our own messes. Let's be honest. That had nothing to do with Satan. He just made some very bad choices. And you've heard that everything happens for a reason. Sometimes that reason is our own stupid choices. But having said all of that, there still is very, very real spiritual warfare. And we have to acknowledge that we have an enemy. Now, I know you're all sitting there and you're thinking about your husband or your neighbor or your son-in-law or somebody is going through your mind. Trust me, they are not your enemy. Okay? We're going to look at who our enemy is tonight and find out exactly how Satan tries to get at us. I would like everyone to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. See me after study, Robert. Ephesians chapter 6. He's come and get it now, I'm telling you what. One more after that. Whoever gets the next one, Robert, you pass it on. Ephesians 6. We're going to start with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might," it says in his mighty power. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Now, do you understand that? Your struggle is not against human beings. Hard to believe that sometimes, isn't it? But I will say this, Satan will use human beings to attack you. And unfortunately, sometimes he'll even use Christians that are willing to let him help them out. And we have to be very careful that we are not an open vessel for Satan to just enter and attack somebody else. I'm going to tell you that now. He uses people, lets us promise right now to God above that as long as he gives us the grace and the strength, we are not going to be those people Satan can use. Do you know how many church fights are started by Christians that are just letting Satan have his way with them? Yeah, do you know how many divorces start that way? I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on. But we're going to start here and now and say we will never be those people that allow Satan to use us to attack anyone else. Amen? Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You remember when Satan was thrown out of heaven, a third of the angels went with him. Okay? So Satan and a third of the angels are now very, very anxious to take as many people to hell with them as they can. They already know that they're doomed. And they want to destroy as many people as they can and take them with them. And we are going to find out that we have got so much authority and power. And it has nothing to do with anybody in this room. There's nobody in this room that God has given more authority and power to than the next person. So, we all have it available to us. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2. It's right behind Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 2.
Amen.
Yeah, we've got it. I'm out of pens. Next week. Colossians chapter 2. I want to look at verse, I'm going to read the whole thing because if I just read verse 15, it's not going to make sense to you. So I want to start with 13. And this is some shout material here. When you were dead in your sin, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Praise the Lord. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Ladies, there is power in the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities. Look, they're disarmed because of the cross. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. You see, they're already defeated. And the only power that they have in your life is the power that you give them. Now, you've all heard the story. If you've been coming here for very long, you've heard it probably a dozen times. But I'm going to remind you of it anyway. There was a little lion cub, and he was walking through the jungle, and he was just playing and having a wonderful time, and he came up on a huge bear. He was like, oh, man. So with everything he could muster, he went, urgh. And the bear took a step closer. He thought, oh no. And the bear took another step closer. And thought the third time, I'll do this as hard and as loud as I can, but I'm so scared anyway. And the bear stepped back. That little cub stood up there, that little lion, and he was like, look at me, I am one powerful lion. What he didn't know is Papa stepped up behind him. You see, we can all we want, but we have got God the Father and the cross standing behind us, backing up absolutely everything that will come against us. Amen. Yeah. The littlest lion cub, the brand new Christian, the one who is going through anything, you have got all of heaven backing you up. God has made a spectacle of Satan because of the cross. Yes. That's exciting. Revelation 12:10. If you have had past sins, how many of you have done something in the past and every once in a while, all of a sudden, it'll be right there in your face? And you know what? You say, oh man, I am so sorry about that. Don't we all say that? Yes. And we toss and turn and we're like, I can't believe I was that stupid. I can't believe I was that horrible. And there it is right in our face. Well, I want you to understand something. The enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. Yes. Look at Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. You see, Satan is going to be defeated. He has already been defeated. He was defeated in the past. He's defeated in the present. And you can see he's going to be defeated in the future. But he is going to not go down without a fight. And his job is to accuse you of absolutely everything he can and remind you of all those things that you've done in the past. And I'm here to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ has wash that away forever. It's gone. It's gone. You know, many times I'll say, oh God, I am so sorry about that. And he's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He does not know what I'm talking about, because he says, not only will I forgive your sins, I will forget them. I will remember them no more. He is capable of doing that. He doesn't know what you're talking about. It's Satan that's accusing you. It's Satan that's trying to tear you down. It's Satan that's trying to keep you depressed. It's Satan that's trying to keep you from living a victorious life. And as you know what, like I said earlier, the only power he has is what you give him. But I'll tell you what, he won't go down without a fight. But I'm here to tell you, we are already victors. We have the victory. Isn't that exciting? Yes. I mean, this is so exciting to me. Let's look at a couple verses here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You see, First Corinthians 15. This is talking about the resurrected body. It goes through, if you read that whole chapter, it's talking about how Christ, the first Adam versus the second Adam. It goes into quite a few things. And then he finishes with verse 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Everyone say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! I'm telling you what, that's exciting. We are victorious through Jesus Christ. We are victorious. We're victorious. I want you to go to Romans 5. I want you to go to Romans 5. Romans 5, chapter or verse 17. For if by the trespasses of one man death reigned through that one man, listen, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. You reign in this life because of Jesus Christ. Now, what's it mean to reign?
Be in charge of,
rule. That's part of it, yes. Rule, that's part of it. Total authority. Total authority. You reign. Look, you reign. God reigns over us. He is our Lord and our Savior. And you know what he is saying? Because of the righteousness, verse 17 says, through his righteousness, you reign in life. Amen. Woo! Amen. Right, because of grace. We reign in life. We have the victory. We already have the victory. Now, I'm going to sit here and tell you, I don't always live like I have the victory. I fall into this habit of talking a whole lot more about what Satan's doing to me than how God has delivered me from it. We get caught up in that, don't we? And we love to tell anybody that'll listen. And we do. If you'll listen to me, I'm going to tell you about all the attacks. Well, I'm going to change my whole focus because I reign in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to tell you that this might be happening, but on the authority of the Word of God, I am going to be delivered because of the blood of Jesus Christ in the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That changes everything. That changes everything. We have to acknowledge we have an enemy. We've already done that. We've seen who our enemy is. We already know that. But now we're finding out that the enemy has no teeth. We're finding out that that enemy has already been defeated. We're finding out that when that enemy comes up to Jesus Christ, he's made a spectacle. We're finding out that we have been given the righteousness of Christ. Oh, that is so powerful. I'm the righteousness of Christ. That's an amazing thought all in itself. But that also gives me power and authority to reign in life. Let's go to John 10. John 10. The thief, I'm at verse 10, John 10, 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. If you have any area in your life that is being destroyed, that is being stolen, that is put to death, that is the work of Satan. That is not God beating you down. Amen. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we stop there, we would be a hopeless people. But the next verse says, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's right. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That's just like our God. Isn't he a more than enough God?
Yes.
He doesn't say, I come that you can have life and I'll help you fight this off. He says, no, not only did I come that you can have life, I came that you may have life more abundantly. He's our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He's more than enough. Praise the Lord. You're right, Virginia. You praise the Lord. Do you see that? You see, he's not leaving us out there to fight Satan all by ourselves. As a matter of fact, he's saying, you know what? I've got this taken care of. I've got it taken care of. So you're all sitting there and saying, well, then why isn't he taking care of it? What's going on? Y'all, you're telling me, sounds wonderful, but that's not what my life looks like.